been a while since I preached last, so hopefully I don't unsave anybody today. So how's everyone doing this morning? All right, so are you excited I'm preaching today? Why, because you think I'll be quick? I've heard that going around here. Oh, he'll be 5 minutes and then we can go chow. So I'm going to be speaking very slowly today. And then we're going to have an intermission, and then I'll call you back. And then we'll have an afternoon sermon. I mean, I got to follow in Pastor Alex's footsteps, don't I? Kind of reminded me, I heard a funny thing where there was this church, and this guy was preaching with all his might. And he left this one of the members left the service to get a drink of water or take a break. And one guy out there also said, "Is he done preaching yet? Is the service over?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, he's done preaching, but he keeps talking." So that will not be me, I promise. So my message today is going to be just more of a spin-off of what Pastor Alex has been going over, you know, sowing and reaping what we sow. And he's spent a good amount of time on that one parable, and it's amazing that he can take it every Sunday and just dissect a new part of that one parable. And it's true for all ages, you know. We obviously get what we put our time into and what we put ourselves into. And, you know, he talks about planting, you know, the seed, put it where you want to put yourself, and then the whole watering part. And, you know, that's kind of like, you know, we get the idea. We know how it works, right? You know, you reap what you sow. Those are kind of old school terms, but, you know, you understand the meaning, right? Reaping and sowing. Okay, it's not reeking and sowing, but a lot of times we're like, we hear the whole watering part, you know, putting our time into whatever we're sowing, you know, God's will in our lives and our finances and our work and, you know, just, you know, watering ourselves, you know, not like physically watering yourself because then you'd be really weird, but you know, he talks about watering in the form of being a part of God's will and being patient and, you know, reading the Word of God. But when I was preparing for this sermon today, I started thinking, how is it that, you know, we come Sunday, we kind of wipe the slate clean from our previous week and we get rejuvenated? How do we take the me from Sunday into Monday through Saturday? Because, you know, we agree with everything the Bible says when we hear it. But how do we get that into our life Monday through Saturday? And that's a challenge. You know, for example, I'm Monday morning on my way to work, and I'm recalling Pastor Alex's sermon from what I can remember of it, and don't lie, you guys are the same. And, you know, it's like I've got 96.5 on, trying to start the week good, and then I get behind a slow driver, and I want to kill that person in front of me. You are slow, and I wish I had a BB gun to blow out your tires to get you out of my way. If it's a senior citizen, okay, my heart melts for you. But if you are, anyway, I get a little frustrated, and I'm like, okay, you know, what would people think if they knew I'm a Jesus freak? I'm singing that song, I pass the slow driver, and then I come to another problem in the road, and I'm just like, get out of the way now. God bless you. As they go on. I get to work Monday afternoon or Monday morning, depending on how slow the traffic is. And I'm like, okay, God be with me. Give me patience. Or let's say it's Tuesday. You know, this continues throughout the week. You know, then I'm thinking, all right, set a good example. Then I get a phone call at work. I take phone calls from people all over the country every day at a bank I work at. And they start ripping my head off. And I'm like, you know, okay, that's all right. They're obviously upset. But then they start digging deeper and deeper. And then I put them on mute, and I start calling them really bad names. I'm like, what the heck do you expect me to do about it? I don't like you. I hate you. Goodbye. And I hang up on them. I don't do that. But it's the same idea. You know, we get into the world, and it beats us down every single week. And it's like, how can I be this person on Sunday, but act so differently Monday through Saturday, you know, when the flesh comes out? And so it's just kind of like, wow, I've got all this different part of me that, you know, doesn't show up through these doors on Sunday, but it really comes to life when I get behind the slow driver. You know, I don't really like them. And I had an incident on the way to work where I made eye contact with this person because he was driving slow, and he looked right back at me, and I felt really bad. Because most of the time, slow drivers, they don't look at you, you know, they're driving, but they can see you. And this guy just looked right back at me. I'm like, what are you looking at? But anyway, I get a little fired up about it. I don't mean them harm. But it's just little examples like that, that you look at yourself and you're like, man, how do I fight the frustrations and just the trials of this world every day? And, you know, it's something where we hear the Word of God on Sundays and we accept the Word of God. And it does manifest itself in our lives. You know, it does grow us to an extent. But what about Monday through Saturday? And so when you ask, how do I be a Christian in the world? How do I apply what Pastor Alex is speaking to me about reaping what I sow? There's one answer. And it's a very common answer, but it is the most overlooked and underrated answer. It's the one app that we seem to not really give much attention to. Does anyone know what that is? The Bible. That's right. Someone said it. That's great. It's the Bible, the Word of God. And that's what we're going to look at today. Why is it important that we even spend time with this ancient, dusty book? Or if it's on your phone, this app. You know, all of us have Bibles on our phone, but how many times do we ever really even go to that source and read the Bible? And it's something where I'm pretty sure we can all agree that, you know, our Bibles don't get opened as much as they should because, you know, for several different reasons. And that's kind of what we're going to look at here. If we have Hebrews 4:12, that's the first verse we're going to take a look at today. This is going to kind of be the starting point, and I think it's up there. Okay, good. So it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." So what does it say that the word of God is there? The Bible. It says it's a living word, okay? It's not a dead word, so let's get that in our mind. And we're going to look at how exactly it is a living word. So Hebrews here is trying to tell the reader that this isn't any other source, you know. It's a living word. It's going to make an impact in your life no matter when you read it, at what time, and how old you are. And so I think a lot of us look at the Bible today and we're like, how can an old book be relevant today? You know, you open it up and it mentions names, places, dates that we probably will never really know about. We never take the time to know, and then we instantly shut the book and then we watch The Biggest Loser or something like that. One of my favorite shows. Especially the first episode when they first get to the camp. Their eyes are rolling in the back of their head because they're working out for like 2 minutes. Oh, you guys like that too. Now, in today's fast-paced world, you know, we live in a country that we need instant gratification. It does. I know it, and I don't even realize I know it until I'm in the act. I go through the drive-thru somewhere, and I'm like, I would like this. I expect to pay, get it, and go. But if there is two people in front of me, I feel like I'm at a five-star restaurant waiting 20 minutes for my food. And it's like McDonald's. You know, that's why I probably won't go to Pastor Judy's tonight, because if you see me by the pool, you might mistake me for a beached whale. I'm not going there. And it's something where, you know, you look at the different little situations in life, and every little situation tells you a little bit about yourself. And if you are like me a lot of the times on week to week, you don't read the Bible enough. Would everyone agree that the Bible is kind of on the lower part of their to-do list? Because Sunday we get a good dose from Pastor Alex. You know, he likes to go a good amount of time in explaining the Bible. But when we get home, it's like, you know, the off button gets clicked and then we just carry on with life until the next Sunday. And so, you know, in today's world, we kind of look at the Bible as old school. You know, irrelevant, something that doesn't really matter a whole lot. And so when we come across different friends of different religious backgrounds, or we just watch the news, we'll look, and America today is like, just give me a dose of free thinking, you know, New Age as they call it, a nice religious temple, a good financial foundation, and a steady job, and I'm saved. I don't know how, but I'm good. I've got money. You know, I'll buy my way somewhere. A lot of people think that that is the American dream, you know, the fast way. No patience, no nothing. And so it's something where it's hard to go out into the world and fight the majority thought of what the world is with a Bible that is about 4,000 years old, if you think about it. And so ask yourself, when you look at the Bible or the Word of God, sitting at home, what do you think is the number one reason we don't, you know, get into the Word as much as we should? Is it an unwillingness for us to do what it says? Is it because we don't fully understand what's being said here? Are we ashamed of what we read in the Bible and what it says to apply to our lives? And so a lot of those, and I'm not saying that any of us are not saved or technically ashamed of God, but it is something you would all have to agree that's keeping us from pursuing the Bible more than we should. It could just be laziness, you know. You could just find something nice to watch at home, and then you get caught up in the series. And then you like that series, and you watch the second series on Hulu. Then you watch the third series on Hulu. Then you realize it's Wednesday. You skipped your job. You've been fired. You've gained weight, and you have a big zit on your forehead. It's hot up here. Sorry about that. I was doing some research today, and about 25%, this was kind of one of those national surveys, 25% of Protestant or evangelical Christians or non-Catholic Christians today, 25% read their Bible on a weekly basis. The number was maybe like 15% for people who read it on a daily basis. And then we wonder why God isn't doing as much as we'd like in our lives while we wait for this seed to produce fruit. And, you know, Pastor Alex said it is a patience that is needed when something grows, but God still blesses you while you wait. And a lot of times, since it's not instant, we throw the Bible to the side, and we look for something else that's instant. You know, whether you're in high school, college, married, any example of any part or area of your life you can probably think of. You know, so there's a lot of things that the devil will use to steal our attention, and then this seed will take a lot longer than it should to grow. If you water something once a week, like my wife knows, we got a plant. I use some weed killer to kill everything, and I thought I had probably killed our plant, but I realized, I haven't told this to her, but I realized she just stopped watering it. So it's a nice yellow pot of deadness in our yard. Thank you. But what happens when you water something once a week? It will die, Jorge. It will die. And that is just the common nature of things. We all know God does not change, so why would he change with the principle of what is needed to grow? Our physical bodies still live, but when we are without the Word of God for a while, how many of us tend to get a little crankier, a little bit more testy, a little more empty? We know that's because the Holy Spirit that lives in us has gone a little dormant. He's there waiting, but we just choose not to call upon him. We choose to kind of do life on our own. And so many Christians, you know, one of the biggest contributors to why people don't read the Bible is a lot of Christians, and it's not necessarily even Christians' fault, don't know how to read. Well, they know how to read English, but they don't know how to read the Bible. You know, like I said, you could you know, a lot of times we'll say, I'm just going to see what God says to me. And you open a book randomly, and whatever verse your finger lands on is what you think God's speaking to you. But then you realize it's about Amorites and Moabites, and then you get kind of a little ticked off. And you're like, this kind of really sucks, and I don't know what's going on in this book. So you close it, and the more times you do that, you approach the Bible like that, the more and more distance you put between you and the Bible. And a lot of times, and I just really want, if you get one thing from this, I want you to understand the very vital importance of reading the Bible, God's Word. Because as we can see there, it's a living word. And we'll kind of dissect that here in just a moment. But that's the one thing you got to get from this, is it is alive. So as I was saying, a lot of Christians today just don't know how to read the Bible. And so how many of you, which took me 5 years to learn, but how many of you know actually how we got the Bible today? It wasn't hairy beast men, you know, chiseling things in stones. I'm sorry. That's not correct. But we look at the Old Testament, and it's got the word old in it. So right away, you're thinking, this is boring. You go to the New Testament, and it's a lot of, you know, same stuff repeated a lot of times. But let me tell you a little something about the Old Testament. If you want just a general idea of what the Bible is about, you're going to eventually realize that it's a very small story, actually. You know, it's all about a small group of people. It's not as big as we think. It's a big book, but it deals with a lot of the same things. For example, the Old Testament, okay? The first five books of the Old Testament talk about how we came into being and what God said he was going to do through a certain group of people. The rest of the book of the Old Testament deals with this group of people called the Israelites becoming that big nation that God was going to use to set an example to the world. And if you want to think of something, if you want to summarize the Old Testament, when you read it, you're going to be reading about a group of people that God had to kick the crap out of just to get things done. Okay, it's kind of like Christians today. A lot of times we see God having to kick our pants a little bit. He had to do that then. And the Old Testament is about God's relationship with his people. So if you come across words you don't know, forget about them. If you come across people you don't know, who cares? Look at how God deals with whoever he's working with. So when you read the Old Testament, you're going to deal with a lot of misbehaved, spoiled people. You know, God gets pretty graphic after he gets a little upset. If you read some of the smaller books, they're about warnings to these people. That's what they mostly are. One of them said that God wanted to cut someone in half and throw his guts all over the place. And that's my favorite book. But it's Zephaniah. And it's in that book that we read that God's jealousy consumes the entire world like a burning fire. So if you were to think of that, it would probably look something like the sun. That's how passionate God's jealousy is for each individual soul. Okay? Each individual soul God is extremely jealous for. And he sends these people to give warning to the Israelites. So that's the Old Testament. Everyone get that? There will be a test later. I'm not kidding. And also, when you look at the Old Testament, it's pointing to what Jesus does. So just imagine this arrow pointing to the New Testament. And when we get to the New Testament, Jesus ultimately pays the price for what sin has done. We know that. And so that's the Bible, okay? It's a lot smaller than we think it is. A lot of times we look at it and we're like, I just don't even know where to begin. But there's all kinds of stuff that deal with life situations we face today that they faced thousands of years ago. Now, afterwards, after the Bible was written, this book didn't come into existence for about 300 years, okay? A lot of times Jesus would use parts of Isaiah, parts of the Old Testament. And then it took 300 years in order to us to actually get this Bible. So we're very fortunate today to have this at our fingertips. And so it's something that we can take for granted, I think. And most of you would probably agree with me on that. That we do take a lot of things for granted, but it's a living word. And so now that we kind of have that embedded in our brain that, you know, the Bible is something that we can use as an example for our lives, let's look at how it's a living word. So let's pull up John 1, 1 through 2. It should be up there in a moment. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do we have verse 2? He was in the beginning with God. There's one word in there that we should focus on first. Anyone catch it? He. Verse 2, the very first word there says what? He. What are we talking about? The Word. So, what or who is the Word? He. But I need a name, and it's everyone's favorite answer. Vadim. You're not Vadim. It's Jesus. So, the living word is Jesus himself. Now, if you can fathom that in your head, I would pay you a ton of money. Because no one can seem to quite fully understand how it works, but it does. So when Jesus, or when God, created the world, he spoke things into existence. The word that was heard, that audible voice, was Jesus. Do you get it? I don't. And so the Word became flesh. So when Jesus came to earth, he became flesh. And he himself, the Word, used the Word, the Bible, Scripture, whatever you want to call it, to fight Satan himself. If you remember, Jesus was in the wilderness. He used the Bible to defeat Satan's temptations. Now, he just wasn't speaking dead words. The words that he was speaking were the same words that created the world. So we have to remember that even though these are printed on paper, they are a living word. And they can affect our lives for the good. And so, yes, the right answer is Jesus is the Word. And we're going to find here in, let's see, let's pull up John 1:14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there it reaffirms that Jesus, the Word, became flesh. So now that Jesus is gone, we're left with what? What? The book, yeah, but who came in Jesus' place? Okay, the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read this, actually, John 14. Let's see here. John. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. So the Bible says that we all now have the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that? We can feel God's presence when we worship or when we actually read his word. And how this is a living word is that when we read something, the Holy Spirit will affirm what we read for our lives. Even though this happened 4,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit will say, this I have meant for you. This is for you. When I kick the crap out of the Israelites, that's what I'm going to do to you. If you do not take my word seriously. Now, he doesn't threaten us, but, you know, Jesus, the whole, you know, in the New Testament, used the words with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit followed him into the wilderness and gave him the power over Satan through the spoken word. And so when we manage to set the Bible aside, it's like going into a war without any armor. That's why the Bible uses the armor analogy so in depth. You know, we need to understand that this is the one thing that we have been given that can help us live this world as a Christian. And I use the term loosely because in America, everyone's a Christian. But what separates a Christian from a Christian is the one who takes the time to understand what God wants for them in their lives by reading the word. And that's why I think Pastor Alex has spent 8 weeks on the sower and the seed, because it's about investing. It's about planting the seed in, you know, what God leads you to in the Bible. Ultimately, this is what we use to water that seed. You know, I think that a lot of times when people try to do their life without understanding God's word specifically, they become Mormon. They create cults. They do stupid things, like crash things into buildings. And they think they know the word without ever really reading the word. And that's how so many things today go wrong. And that's why I think Christianity kind of has a negative outlook on it. There's so many forms of Christianity, it seems like. But we know that this is the one true and living word. And so when we read this, we know we are going to get the truth, and God will speak through this. He says, test me on this. He says, and as Paul goes through all the places that he preaches the word, he constantly tells people to test him by going to the scripture. You know, test me on this, and you will be reaffirmed. You know, so the Holy Spirit uses these 4,000, 6,000-year-old words to change our lives for the better today. Everyone getting this so far? I haven't preached for a while, so I might kind of suck right now. So there's no harm in being honest here, right? All right, so, you know, it's the point I'm really trying to drive home here is it is important to read the Bible. You know, I've fallen short of that a lot. And I went to school, and that was like 5 years. I studied the Bible every day, but I didn't really read the Bible. See, you can know about the Bible, but do you actually read it for yourself? You can take what pastors say up here and apply it to yourself, but God wants to tell you more. And that's how we get from Monday through Saturday. Now, God has a word for each and every one of you that he's already said in here. That's why we don't accept other books that come from other religions. You know, the Book of Mormon, for example, they say is a companion to the Bible. But we know that everything God has needed to say is right here. So there's no point in going to anyone else. There's no point in going to the bottle for alcohol, for the drugs. There's no problem going to a boyfriend or a girlfriend to give us that 5-minute pleasure. You know, everything we need to have life is in this word, and that's the point I'm trying to make here. Because Alex is doing an awesome job of laying out what the big picture looks like. But I started wondering, you know, what does that look like Monday through Saturday? How can I be nicer to the extremely slow driver without wanting to create bad scenarios in my head? You read about patience. You read about the things that you know you need to focus on from the Bible. You can have a lot of Bible tools. You can have a lot of study guides. But you need to read the Bible for yourself. And who cares if you don't get it the first time? Keep reading, because eventually it will all make sense. And so the next time that you are in the world, Monday through Saturday, I challenge you to dive into the Bible and just start reading. A lot of times it seems difficult when you read about things that are foreign to you because they happened so many years ago. But you will start to see more of God speaking to you than you just kind of trying to understand the little details. You'll be amazed. I have experienced this myself. I realized that studying the Bible isn't enough. You have to look for God's answer in the Bible. You have to expect God to answer you, because he will. I was going through a period of time a couple years ago where I felt the enemy, you know, Satan, really on me, you know, creating certain fears that I had. And he was really pressing the matter, really making me doubt what the Bible said. And God will answer you, even through those tough times. I was in the bathtub, and I'm just floating there, and I'm just really wanting an answer from God. And a lot of times, we expect God to answer us like that. We pray and we say amen before God can even answer us. It's like going up to someone and saying, hey, how are you? See ya. And they're about ready to answer you. God wants to answer you. And as I was sitting in that bathtub, God, through the Spirit, because remember, the living Spirit is in us. That's not a joke. That's not a metaphor. That's not something that means something else that we don't understand. It's plain and simple. How it works, I don't know. Don't try to find the Holy Spirit, because you won't find him there physically, but he's there. He will affirm things. He will speak to you. And a verse came to my mind, and I hopped right up out of that bathtub. And I was drenched, the windows were open, and I'm flipping through the Bible to this verse that I didn't recall, I didn't know what it was, and it told me that the righteous will prosper and the wicked will fail. It's exactly what I needed to know. It's exactly what I needed God to hear. That's how God answered me. God's not going to show up in a tuxedo or in a garment with some bread and wine and say, hey, let's talk about your issue. He's going to say that I've already given you the answer. It's in the Word. I use the Word, Jesus says. I use the Word to help me get through my 33 years of life on this earth. I am the Word, but even he had to use the Word. It's kind of ironic. But he had the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. So we can do anything Jesus did on earth. He has given us that power. And so it all comes from this, though. So very tempting to underestimate the Word, because we live in such a world today that demands our attention, that says that the betterment of myself is the first thing in the world, when really what we read here is that we need to humble ourselves, and then God will build us up. Everyone getting something from this? You guys still awake? What time is it? Wow. I actually went a little bit close to Alex's time. I've got one final verse to read to you here today, and I'm almost done. We're going to read, who is that? No, I'm just kidding. We're going to read James 1, 22 through 25. And this says, oh, that might be the wrong verse. Nope, that's the right one. It says, and remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen and don't obey, it is like looking at your face in a mirror, but doing nothing to improve your appearance, which I don't need. You see yourself, walk away and forget what you look like. So, can you imagine, you see this mirror, you look at yourself and you're like, okay, I look pretty good today. Then you walk a few feet and you see another mirror. You look at yourself and you just freak out because you didn't know or remember what you looked like. You thought it was someone else looking at you. You'd be committed to a mental institution. That's the point here, that it's so obvious that you look at what you see in the mirror. You remember what you look at. You approve upon that. And James here is saying that if you listen to the Word of God but don't do anything about it or in it or meditate on it, you're just fooling yourself and you're going to be very disappointed. So I challenge you this week, once a day, to just pick up your Bible, start reading. God can speak to you in any book of the Bible except for maybe the Song of Solomon. That's kind of R-rated. I'm just kidding. God will speak to you. And I challenge you to pick it up, read it once a day, and notice, begin to notice the change in your life. Maybe you won't want to decapitate the bad driver. Maybe you won't want to do something that you would rather do otherwise that you know you shouldn't do, or say, or act. And this will really separate us from the Christians of the world as the, you know, the Christians that God expects, the ones that he expects as, you know, kind of what he's designed here.